You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Did you see that Amazon launched their Black Friday deals already?
I did not see that, but now I'm completely intrigued. Of course, after their big announcements last week, this would be the time to get me interested.
Well, right. So I got home and my babysitter, Lindsay, she said to me, she's like, you're never going to believe this. I go, what? She's like, I bought like 4 Christmas gifts today. I'm like, what are you talking about? And she's like, Amazon's got all these deals going on right now. And I looked and it's true. But like for me, it feels wrong to be buying Christmas gifts this early. I can't get my headspace there. I still need to worry about Halloween.
You know what's happening, though? Every time I turn on the TV or I turn around, they're warning about this holiday shortage, right? So if it's not the shipping that's going to kill you, it's the fact that they're not making chips somewhere. It's the fact that there's some tariff problem or something. There's a lot of problems, Anna Zapp. It's just more excuses on toy buying.
But do you think that that's real? Like, do you think that all these holdups and they're saying that you need to get your Christmas shopping done now because the shelves are going to be empty. Like, I guess we'll be playing this back in 2 months.
Right.
After we make these predictions. But do you think that's a real problem? Because I will say that I have gone to stores lately and there's empty shelves. And yeah. I'm like, huh, that's weird.
No, I do think it's a problem. I think if it's a perceived problem, it'll no less cost you more money. Either way, right? Mm-hmm. So if you want to get out in front of things, especially while they're doing their deals, Amazon makes it easy, right? They send you those great emails and say, oh, we thought you'd be interested in these. And guess what? I'm interested in 60% of those. And if you show me that it's a good price and that it can be here in 2 days, I'll click it. One thing I am resenting, though.
Yeah.
Now when you get the Prime, and it's not just Prime. I mean, it's for all businesses. But even if you're paying for overnight shipping or you're getting Prime and you expect it the next day, it'll take up to like 4 days now. And I know that that sounds spoiled first world problems, but we got really used to having our stuff the next day for a long time.
It's
right?
funny because when I order things from other websites and it gives me an estimated like a week before it gets to my house, I'm outraged. It's because
right.
It's like because I've gotten so used to like 2 days. It's on my doorstep. You
Do
know?
They know who they're talking to?
Right. I mean, what do you
Four
mean?
4 days.
4 days.
4 days. Where am I? On a mountain in Guatemala?
How about when they say like the estimated arrival dates and it's like a 3 day span? Like, yeah. What?
Right.
What are you talking about?
Who talks like that?
Yeah.
Could ever. Do these people not understand math? What's happening here?
Yeah, so. All right, now that we've basically made a commercial for Amazon for no good reason whatsoever.
Well, it had its ups and downs. I'm sure they wouldn't be totally thrilled with all of its content.
Yeah, we can move on with our lives. Did you ever get stuck in a political conversation and you certainly did not want to be in that conversation and you have no idea how it started, how you got there, and all you need to do is escape and you have no idea how to do it?
You know, I wonder if it's just the fact that every year that I've, you know, lived and been on this planet that I'm just more in tune with what's going on, I'm paying more attention to the news and whatnot, or if it's just actually gotten worse, because it feels like it's all gotten worse.
Yeah, 1-800-330-9999. Wrong answers only. How do you get out of a political conversation? I was at a shower, a bridal shower, and it was the first time that I was meeting the groom's mother. I was there with the bride. And, you know, respect your elders, obviously.
I mean,
100%.
Right. And respect the fact that you're at somebody else's event and it's their mother. Right, of course.
Yep. And I don't know why everyone always assumes I think the way they think on things, because I guess because I never talk about it, really.
Sure.
But she got into me. And she was arguing and like she was so passionate about her side where she felt everything. And it was completely what I don't believe. And it's one of those moments where you're like a deer in headlights because it's the first time meeting this woman.
Yeah.
You want to have respect.
Sure.
And I just it's hard for me to just keep quiet. But I did. I sat there silently, literally literally biting my tongue.
Okay, I mean, you said arguing, so I figured like there was it was a two-way conversation, but she was arguing with you, and you weren't even saying anything yet.
Nothing. Nothing.
So she was coming strong.
Oh, my gosh. And I did not know how to get myself out of it.
Right.
And then she looked at me. She's like, well, it looks like you're holding back. I go...
What do you expect?
Well, what I said to her, I just don't know what to say. I'm sorry. And like, and I guess that was the wrong thing because she just kind of looked at me and then she walked away. And it was terrible because like it felt so awkward and there was so much like animosity almost at the beginning of the shower.
Sure.
It was like the first 5 minutes of being there.
Yeah.
You know?
And so then it felt awkward for you for the next couple hours. Right?
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So no, that's weird.
The big question is how do you get out of the situations? But forget it. I know what you're going to say. Just walk away. Just smile. No. I want wrong advice. I want things that are so over the top that, you know what? That person will never do that to anybody else.
My wife has an aunt that, sends her cards and stuff like that periodically. And now she's taken to sending her like political stickers and stuff like that. And Alicia was like, listen, she had to tell her. She's like, frankly, I don't agree with you, but thank you for the gifts. They're thoughtful, but don't send them here anymore.
That seems like right advice. Yeah. I don't want that right.
Yeah, no.
I want wrong advice.
It was straight ahead, right.
1-800-330-9999. How do you get out of these political conversations? Wrong advice only.
Fake a medical emergency. You have to. You have to like clutch the chest, heart attack, fall to the floor.
Mm-hmm. Shaking a little bit.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Maybe foam at the mouth.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm good at that, actually. I can do it.
Oh, how do you learn that you can do that? It's weird.
At my age, nobody would be surprised, but when you're a young, healthy person, forget it.
Wrong advice only. 1-800-330-9999. How do you get out of political conversations that you don't want to be in? It happened to me. It was I was at a bridal shower. I'm good friends with the bride. I had never met her future mother-in-law. Her mother-in-law swooped right in. And she's one of those, like, she immediately has to tell you all her political, like, sides and how she believes in it and then backs it up. And then it's like, it was so intimidating. And I just wanted to run.
Yeah.
I was like, ma'am, yes, no.
Checking into a hotel 3-4 weeks ago out of state. First thing the guy starts talking to me about. I mean, he hasn't even run my credit card yet. And he's talking to me about the president. And I was like, wow.
Right.
It was crazy.
It's so... And I think it happens to a lot of people. You get into these conversations, you don't want to be in it. And it's one thing when it's on Facebook and you just click off and go somewhere else.
Right.
It's another thing when you're dealing with somebody face to face. So wrong advice only. How do you get out of these conversations? John wrote on our Facebook page, just begin a loud rendition of Baby Got Back with the terrible dance moves that goes along with it.
Baby Got Back.
It's my favorite.
My anaconda don't want none of your conversation, son.
Right.
It feels good.
Yeah.
Just to say it.
1-800-330-9999. Wrong advice only. How do you get out of these political conversations?
Okay, when I'm outside and that starts, I just start doing cartwheels because nobody can even talk to you. And then they're like, wow, I'm so amazed you can even still do cartwheels. And if I could do a backflip, I would do that. Just anything to distract and get out of it. I do not want to be involved with that.
Unless you're Simone Biles, there's not that many times in your life where like you could start tumbling as an adult that people don't immediately take notice and be like, stop dead in their tracks.
Hey, Anna and Raven, wrong advice only. How do you escape a political conversation?
Blurt out, I'm pregnant. Even if you're not pregnant, that always stops people dead in their tracks and they forget what they're talking about and they talk about your upcoming pregnancy.
Or they jump over a railing and leave the area. Yeah. Yeah, no, that would work. That's very effective. Good job.
It's true.
I'm going to try it. I'm going to yell, I'm pregnant, and run away.
That's definitely wrong advice. I want to hear you calmly tell somebody that you're pregnant in the middle of a conversation.
No calm about it. I just go, I'm pregnant, and I jump over a railing and I leave right then. I love that escape route.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. How do you escape a political conversation? Wrong advice only.
You just need to imply that you're somehow a spy. It would be inappropriate for me to comment on this given my career and imply that like there's some type of mystery that they won't understand, whether it has to do with the government. They won't understand if you talk about it, but it's really inappropriate for you to have that conversation.
My clearance status won't allow me to discuss this with you. It's a bit below your pay grade, if I can be honest, and I'm not going to be able to talk about this with you. Now, if you guys want to go ahead and continue on with this conversation, that's fine, but I may have to kill one of you in your sleep later.
Or I would just whisper, I'm in the CIA.
Right, you could do that.
And see what happens.
Right. That's always good as an undercover agent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just let people know sly.
Let them know.
They give them the big wink, right, and then walk out. Perfect. Love it.
All right, that's all the wrong advice, but what's the right advice to get out of these political conversations? Etiquette expert Karen Thomas, she's coming up next. Karen Thomas is the foremost authority when it comes to etiquette. You can find her online at ktetiquette.com. And today it's all about how do you get out of those political conversations. You would think at this point this would be a dead subject matter, but I still find myself in these situations where somebody brings up their point of view. They automatically assume that I agree with them. I don't want to get in a confrontation because it's not me and I don't know how to get out of it.
We're just months away from another election. Somebody will be reminding you.
So how do you do it, Karen? How do you get out?
Well, you know, it depends upon the scene, where you are and all of these things. But remember, first and foremost, this. You want to make sure that you are being respectful to the people around you. That is the entire premise behind etiquette, is respect for self and others. When people approach you with a subject, whether it's political or anything that you really don't wish to be a part of, come right out and state that. State that publicly. Say, you know, I really don't wish to get into politics at this time. And if they press you, you could make up an excuse. And I'm not one for saying lie or make excuses, because that's not what I'm advocating for. But again, sometimes you have to be a bit blunt when people will force the issue. And politics can be so volatile, even to this day. And people nowadays seem to feel that they want to force their opinion on you. And if you don't have the same opinion, why not? And you better defend yourself. So we really all must, as a society, take a step back and realize we can all get along together without forcing our opinion on other people. So again, first thing, just say to them, I'm sorry, I don't discuss politics. I don't wish to get into it. That's a simple way. If they press on, this is something that I just don't wish to continue to talk about. And, you know, I hope you understand, but I don't share your same point of view. But you know what? Let's remain friends, you know, and just make it civil. Civility is key.
Karen, you would have died. I was at a bridal shower and my best friend is getting married. And I had met her mother-in-law for the very first time, and her mother-in-law to be. And she immediately starts on the politics stuff. And I am, because, you know, when you have respect for your elders, no matter how old you are.
Right.
You know?
And the situation and the setting, obviously you want to be like.
And I was like a deer in headlights. And it was to the point where she goes, I can tell you're biting your tongue. And I looked at her and I go, I don't know what to do right now.
Like, you know? See ya. Yeah. And then I'm going to the bathroom.
She just kind of like wandered off after I said that. And it was like, I needed something clever to say and I didn't know what to do. It was awful. It could not have been more awkward. And it set off the entire day on a bad foot.
Well, it seems like it was so much easier when before we could all just agree that they were all quacks,
right,
and laugh and walk away, you know, but you know, now everybody's right. Going to be so serious.
Well, and again, you know, it's about being civil. You may have maybe taken it more to heart afterwards, and that other person probably just walked away. I mean, you know, chuckled. But again, don't take it to heart. We all have our own opinions, and that is what is great about us over here. You know, we can all have our own opinions and we can all live together. We just don't have to force them on other people. So again, just be kind though when that happens. It really is hard sometimes. I know my rolling eye syndrome here really gives away when I'm annoyed at certain things, and it happens, you know, out of the blue. So you kind of have to try to avoid your resting, you know what, face and these things that might give away that you're either annoyed or, you know, whatever, and just work on it.
Good advice, Karen Thomas. You can find her online at ktetiquette.com.
Goose Baba. It's Wellness Wednesday.
Don't freak out.
With Anna and Raven.
Wellness Wednesday, small things you can do to make a big difference. And you ever wonder what's wrong with your face, Raven?
Yes, all the time, really.
Tired eyes, crooked teeth, undefined cheekbones, crooked nose.
Yeah, I figured that was just gravity and time, actually, but it's something else?
Yep. No, you're breathing wrong.
Great.
According to an expert, you should be breathing strictly through your nose 99.9% of the time. So it's mouth breathers that have all these problems, and a lot has to do with the position of your tongue when you're a mouth breather. And most of the time, you don't even realize it. Like, when I was starting to do all this research last night,
yeah,
and I was reading everything, I was trying to pay attention to my own breathing,
mm-hmm,
and you don't even realize whether you're a nose breather or a mouth breather, and you breathe more through your mouth than you actually think you do.
I mean, when you're talking and walking around, yes, I would imagine that you do that.
But. Yeah. So our bodies produce 30 pounds of air every single day. We get actually more energy from air than we do from drink or water or from anything, from food.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of the things you need to be alive. So, yeah, I get it.
But you need to focus more on breathing through your nose and not through your mouth and being more conscious of it because, well, the first benefit is your nose has these nose hairs and it filters out the dust, the mold, bacteria. If you're a mouth breather, guess what? You're ingesting all the mold.
All right. I mean, I primarily breathe through my nose, I think, except you've got those days where you just can't do it.
Well, you know, it's funny because I was watching you so far throughout the day just to like, I was trying to pay attention and you don't. You have your mouth open all the time.
I mean, but I'm allowed to have my mouth open.
You're not. The problem.
Wait a minute. What?
The problem with having your mouth open is the position of your tongue. And that's where all the other problems come in because the position of your tongue, like when you close your mouth.
Okay.
Close your mouth.
It's closed. Yes.
Your tongue is supposed to be resting behind your top teeth. When your mouth is open, even a little bit, it falls.
Okay.
And that's where all these problems come in with like your jaws, your cheeks, the positioning of your nose, why your eyes look tired, all of it.
Sounds crazy.
The experts say, wait for this, you're going to freak out. You're supposed to use a small piece of surgical tape to tape your mouth shut at night when you go to sleep.
Good.
So because if you're snoring, that's like one of the big reasons. It's because you're taking in all the bad air through your mouth.
When I hear these crazy, crazy things, I just think to myself, how did the caveman make it? How did we evolve from Neanderthals?
Well, funny you bring that up because they brought up the fact that 5,000 years ago when yoga first started, there was no downward dog or all that stuff that we do now.
Right.
The whole thing was based on nose breathing and it was learning to breathe through your nose.
Yeah.
Even athletes have learned that if you breathe through your nose on the field, you have better focus and you have better performance. Now, what I've done is I have found an Irish expert in
this. Tell that to Eli Manning.
Mm-hmm. He's going to give us an activity that we can do to help us become better nose breathers. And I'm going to ask you to do it too. Ready?
Please.
I'd like you to take a small breath in through your nose, a small breath out through your nose, and pinch your nose.
Pinch it.
Now start nodding your head up and down and hold your breath until you feel a medium to strong air hunger. And I need you to continue holding your breath. Continue holding your breath and continue nodding your head up and down. When you feel a strong need for air, let go and breathe through your nose.
So now I'm going to see how long can you hold your breath. One Mississippi. Two Mississippi, three Mississippi, four Mississippi, five Mississippi. Are you going to pass out? Are you going to pass out?
I'm just going to keep going.
Okay.
I had to open my mouth.
All right. Now, don't stop. Stop breathing through your mouth. Breathe through your nose. By doing that, you're going to manage anxiety, have better blood flow through your body, improve your brain function too. Feel better?
That was through my mouth. So
okay.
No.
Okay.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 You see people doing questionable things all the time. Here's your shot to call them out. You just got to fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. 1-800-330-9999. Raven, if you read a book while you're walking, that's all I need to know about you.
I mean, I guess it's better than driving.
Well, I was at a red light and this woman was walking down the sidewalk and she was holding up and reading a book like she was Belle from Beauty and the Beast. Like a real book. They say that walking with a phone and looking at your phone is dangerous.
Sure.
I was like, she's about to walk into a busy intersection on Chapter 3, The Great Gatsby. Like, nobody can think this is safe.
I just can't focus if I'm moving up and down. So how is it you're reading? Like, I'd have to reread the same line five times to make sure that I read it right.
And I'm a dork. Like, I love to read. So
sure.
I shouldn't say dork. Like, cool people read. But when you get engrossed in a book, I understand that. But never once was I like, let me run down the street to Starbucks, get a coffee while I'm in the middle of this chapter, you know?
No, it doesn't make much sense.
No.
If you had an actual argument with your friend of 30 years over the Yankees-Red Sox post during last night's wild card, that's all I need to know about you.
Uh-oh.
I mean, my friends, like, we've been doing this for decades, guys, all right? And there's always somebody on one side or the other. And in most circles, there's a Yankees and a Red Sox fan. And they tend to argue all the time.
I never understand.
But let it go. Yeah. They'll be next year. You guys can still be friends.
Whenever my husband starts getting upset about sports, I just look at him. I go, are they going to pay our mortgage?
Oh, good. Yeah, that's fun to hear. Right. That is fun to hear. But it was fun to see Giancarlo Stanton really angry in the sixth after that grand slam last time
that's
we played.
Enough. All right. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. That's all I need to know about you.
If you're driving the parkway and there's nobody in the left lane and you don't move over to let me on, that's all I need to know about you.
Yeah, I don't understand. The whole merging, we could have a whole day's conversation talking about merging onto highways and why people are so dumb.
We have.
Yeah, actually, I think we have.
We have had that conversation several times because it just drives me insane.
I had a, like, in the slow lane, like, merging on. They didn't want to let me go, but they didn't want to speed up either.
Yeah.
So then it's like, you're the jerk that has to go like 85 miles per hour to fly around them. It's I don't understand what you want from me.
And if you go to do that, a lot of times they'll block you.
Yeah.
It's all part of the fun.
Anna and Raven, that's all I need to know about you.
If you take forever in the self-checkout line and you have no idea what you're doing and you just keep pushing buttons and holding up the line, that's all I need to know about you.
I agree. At this point, if you haven't figured out how to use the self-checkout, like, get out of there.
You're not allowed to be there then?
Well,
Use a human?
There is a learning curve that's involved. Mm-hmm. I understand that. You have to know where to scan. Maybe you don't have all the codes memorized yet at the grocery store. But if you are just standing there like it's like a slot machine and you're just pushing buttons and hoping that money comes out, like, get out of line.
You know what I don't like is the person who decides very slowly. All right. Almost scientifically, like they're engineering a building or something, how they're going to load their reusable bag after they've checked out at the self-checkout. So now you're parked here. You made it through the ringing out experience, but now you're just going to camp here for the next 15 minutes while you figure out that the can should go on the bottom and the chips on top. It's not your first time ever being to the grocery store. Like, get your stuff and get out of the way, lady.
You know. Aggressive though, Raven.
I'm just saying what you're thinking.
1-800-330-9999. Just fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. Five calls says it all. What do you use the drawer on the bottom of your stove for? 1-800-330-9999. Raven, last night I was cooking dinner and I have a new stove. I mean, it's probably like a month and a half old now. It's been a couple months since we finished the kitchen.
Okay.
And I never realized it, but I was like, oh, I was looking down. I was standing there. I go, why is the drawer smaller than it was on my old stove?
Okay.
So I opened it because normally that's where I store like cookie sheets or, you know, like the baking pans or whatever.
Pretty standard.
Yeah. And then I open it. I go, why does it come with a broiling pan in here? So I go online and I Google, it's a broiler. That thing down there is supposed to be used as a broiler. It's not storage.
Wait a minute. It can't be that way on everybody's stove because when we broil, my wife takes the broiling pan and puts it in the upper part of the stove.
I think that, I don't know if it's just my stove, but you can do that. But then I started thinking about it. I go, who broils in the bottom, like, drawer of the oven?
I mean, how do you even get it from that far close? I mean, it's low. You're close to the ground. Now you got to pick it all the way up to get it to the island without spilling any of that.
Isn't it weird?
That seems dangerous.
Right. But I'm like, well, why would it come with this special pan for this thing?
Yeah.
And then I read online that some people, it's a warming area where you put food in there to stay warm.
Oh,
and I was like, am I the only person in America that used it for my storage, like for my cookie sheets? Am I crazy that I did that?
No, we've got cooking sheets, baking sheets, and like, you know, casserole dishes and stuff like that in there. Mm. And it's in there in such a way, the configuration, that if you move one thing and you don't put it back the proper way, you cannot close nor open that drawer
forever.
Then the drawer is completely useless.
Uh-huh.
And it's not all that, you know, handy right now at this moment.
Yeah.
But if you do it wrong, then it's forget it.
So I saw this. I freaked out about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wait a minute. Like, am I even doing this wrong the whole time?
Right.
So I went to our Facebook page at Anna and Raven. I went live and I showed you it. And I'm just curious. I'll read some of these comments coming up. I don't know if we're going to have a solution to this because everybody is so divided and nobody has any idea. 1-800-330-9999. Five calls says it all. I got a new stove a few months ago and last night I was cooking dinner. And I went to go put my cookie sheets down on the bottom drawer, which is where I thought you stored things because I thought it was a storage drawer.
Yeah, it seems that's where it belongs, right?
But yeah, it was the first time in my new stove that I was opening the drawer and there was a broiling pan in there. And I go, that's weird. Why would this come with a broiling pan on the bottom? So I Googled it. It's a broiler. What?
Mind blown.
All these years, I had a broiler randomly in my storage drawer on my, and I had no idea?
Yeah, no, that's where the cookie sheets, the baking sheets, and the casserole dishes go in my house. And they got to go in there a certain way or they'll never fit.
1-800-330-9999. Five calls says it all. What do you use that drawer at the bottom of your oven for?
So usually I use it for storage, but my brother-in-law is a chef. And he said, it's a warming drawer. And I've watched him use it as a warming drawer.
But what do you keep in there? Like the dishes so they stay warm? Or like after you make Brussels sprouts so they don't get all soggy?
So after, right, so we do Thanksgiving there. There are 42 people in my family. He puts all of the vegetables in their casserole plates and puts them in there.
Huh.
And keep them warm.
What? This is crazy.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Thank
I'm
going
to have to do some experimentation.
Hi, it's Hannah on Raven. Five Call says it all. What do you do with that bottom drawer?
I use it as storage, but mine is a warming tray. And my mother's is a broiler.
So, wait a minute. So, let me understand this. Everybody's got this warming tray. You don't actually set any temperature for that or turn it on, right? It gets warm based on the fact that the oven is really hot above it, right?
Yeah, it just helps keep stuff warm. That's it. There's no setting.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That seems like fake, right?
Right.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for the call. Like, if there's not some sort of dial switch or knob,
right.
Feels like a coincidence.
Hi, it's Anna on Raven. Five Calls says it all. What's the bottom drawer in your stove?
You know what? I was listening to you. I literally stored all my cookies under there for 2.5 years. I had no idea that it was a broiler.
That's right. It. When you get home today, you're broiling. I don't know what you guys are making, but you are broiling something, girl.
I read this one article saying that, like, if it's raining outside, that you could, like, do your hamburgers and hot dogs under there. I was like, what?
What is this nonsense? What? Nonsense.
I literally just found out this weekend. My husband yelled at me and said, that's a broiler.
That's nuts.
How do I flip a hamburger 6 inches from the floor?
I don't know.
That doesn't feel right. Thank you for the call.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What do you use that bottom drawer for?
I'm laughing because that is exactly what that drawer was used for back in the day. My mother used to make the roasted sweet potatoes for Thanksgiving down there. And she always used to put them in her cake pan, and that used to make me laugh. That is exactly what that tray is for. But I didn't think these days they still made them that way.
Yeah.
It's funny because you're the second person to mention the holidays. I wonder if anybody used that drawer whatsoever when there wasn't, 1,000 people in their house, right? And they had to keep something warm for 45 minutes to an hour.
We grew up in a small apartment, so any piece of storage you could find, you use. So, yeah, extra pans, whatever. But anytime holiday time came when my mother had to broil something, everything had to come out of that drawer.
So funny.
She put it on the pan.
It's funny because somebody just texted, the broiler on the bottom is only in cheap gas stoves. I mean, I don't think my stove was cheap. It has an air fryer built into it.
Yeah. Seems weird.
And
judgmental, texter.
Right. I don't even remember what we were talking about. But at some point last week, I had said that in the morning when I get up before I come to work, I always take the meat out of the freezer and I leave it on the counter for dinner time, right? Mm-hmm. But then we got this call.
Good morning. I'm just concerned about Anna saying she forgets to pull her meat out of the freezer and serve it that night. There's no way it can thaw safely by dinner time.
No, I used to take out those days. I don't take it out after.
Oh, you take it out of the freezer and put it in the fridge?
Yeah, no. I leave to go to work at like 4 o'clock in the morning. If I put it out at 4 o'clock and then I get home around 2 and then I put it in the fridge, I think it's okay. I leave it on the counter.
You're putting it out on the counter?
Yeah.
No. Oh my God, Anna, that's so not good.
But I've survived all these years.
All right. Well, I hope you continue to.
Thank you.
I'm in food and I heard that and I was like, no, you can do it in the microwave. You can do it under running water, but not on the counter. But good luck. And I hope that you don't die.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
She was so mad when you pointed out to her that you had survived. Like, I mean, I honestly, when we walked away from that call for a day or two, I thought we were the ones that were a bit dismissive about it. But when you listen back, like, she's really mad that you say that. And we're kind of just defending ourselves after that.
Well, because like I was thinking about it. And the whole reason this comes up is so I have my routine where I get up in the morning to come to work and I go in the freezer and I take out the meat that I'm going to make that night for dinner. I leave it on the counter. When I get home from work, I put it in the fridge because at that point it's defrosted enough that it'll be all right for dinner time later on in the day.
Sure.
I didn't see the big deal with it, but apparently I'm trying to poison my entire family.
Well, listen, I mean, as she stated, she works in food. So, I mean, she's probably had this drilled into her for, you know, 10, 20 years.
Mm.
And to be fair, if we were going by science, she's probably looking out for your well-being. But does that make you actively, you know, attempting manslaughter on a daily basis? I'm not sure.
I don't know. And then I was like, doesn't everybody do that? Like, I feel like every time I mean, my dad is a chef and I plenty of times I go over and there's meat on the counter. What? At the house? I'm not talking about at the restaurant.
Yeah, you better clarify.
I'm talking about at home, like at my parents' house.
Don't get anybody in trouble saying some nonsense that you don't understand.
No, but I mean, like at home, my mom does it all the time. Like, wouldn't my dad say to her, don't do that? So anyway, Chef Plum from the Food Network, he's one of our good friends, and he's the only person that will literally return our calls on a dime's notice. So,
yeah, your dad's too busy.
Anna, what are you, an idiot? Yeah. So we're going to check in with Chef Plum coming up next to find out, is that such a thing? Is it really bad to put the meat out on the counter for a few hours to let it defrost? It's next. There was nobody else we could turn to, mostly because you're the only person that will return our texts when we call you and need you immediately.
Right. Because you got weird hours like us.
Chef Plum from the Food Network. So this lady called and she was really upset at me and she kind of had an attitude about it. Because when I defrost things, I take things out of the freezer in the morning, I leave it on the counter, and then when I get home from work later on in the afternoon, I put it in the fridge until it's time to cook it at night. And she said, you can't defrost on the counter because I'm going to die or something like that.
No, you're not going to die. It just is that the proper way to do it? No. But does everybody do that? Yes. You know, ideally what you want to do is take it out and put it in your refrigerator 2 days beforehand or something like that. But no one thinks that far ahead.
2 days? You have to take it out and put it in your fridge 2 days ahead?
If it rises above 38 degrees, technically bacteria can grow. The things that are most dangerous to food are time and temperature, right? So if you mess with that too much, potentially, doesn't mean it will, but potentially bacteria can grow. When thawing frozen food, it's best to, like I said, take it out of the refrigerator, out of the freezer, put it in the refrigerator and let it go. You want to keep it at the constant temperature, like 40 degrees or below, right? You can put it in cold water and stuff like that. But overall, I think you're probably going to be fine if you leave it sitting on your countertop.
Right. Like if especially, I was camping, all right, or if a meat truck flipped over, I got some time to get my campfire going before it's time for all this stuff to immediately be cooked. I mean, people survived before we had all these different rules.
Right. You can cook meat in a frozen state if you had to as well, but it's just not going to be as tasty. I recommend not doing that. You know, you can put it in cold water as well. Time and temperature, those are your two big things. I think overall you're probably going to be fine, but the professional chef opinion in me tells you to pull it out 2 days ahead of time and put it in the refrigerator to thaw out that way.
If I take out meat and I don't use it all, I defrost it, can I refreeze it or do I have to throw it in the garbage then?
Don't refreeze meat. You're going to basically ruin the integrity of the meat at that point. It's disgusting. Don't do it.
All right. Well,
yeah, throw it away. Don't refreeze it. If it's already been frozen once, you know, you don't want to refreeze the meat. It messes with the integrity. It's just not good stuff. And once like it's thawed in the refrigerator, I mean, you can lose the quality. You can lose a bunch of moisture from it. It's just not good stuff.
Once you thaw it out, how long can it stay in the fridge then? Before you cook
it.
You
ever thought about calling your dad? He owns a restaurant. I'm sure he serves safe certified. He can answer these questions. Or no. Wait, does he not talk to you anymore now?
No, he gets aggravated that I don't know these things. So right. It's better just not to ask.
That you should know, like in your right. Blood.
Exactly.
You were born with disinformation.
I don't know why
you're
so stupid, Anna. I have no idea. I thought I did a good job raising you, and now I know. I messed up. I don't know when. So
the good news is now at least you made me feel less annoyed that I was getting annoyed at you. So that's good.
So wait a minute.
I'm not the only one now.
So when I defrost it, how long can it stay in the fridge before I cook it?
Depending on what kind of meat it is, I wouldn't go any more than 2 or 3 days.
Okay. So 2 days in advance to defrost it, and then it's got to be used between 2 and 3 days. All right. That's actually not as bad as I thought. Sounds good.
No, it's not terrible, but I realize that for you that this planning this far ahead is difficult. Here's the other thing I would say. I mean, you guys start work last night. Right. So you guys get to work. It's still last night when you get to work. So if you took meat out, it would just be in the morning when you get home. So I think it's fine.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Well, thank you very much, Plum. You've always been helpful somewhat.
As long as I don't drop dead after all this advice, then you've still got my shining endorsement.
You guys are ridiculous. I'm glad I could help.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then you decide who's right. Jeff and Dina. Dina, let's start with you. What's going on?
My husband, it drives me nuts, but he always has a drink in bed at night. And, like, he'll be drinking, like, a Cabernet or a Scotch, and he'll, like, if he doesn't finish it, he'll bring it up to bed. And it's really gross. It's really disgusting. I hate that he leaves it on the nightstand. It smells, and it's like we're partying before we go to sleep in terms of, like, the smells and the circumstances. I just really don't like it.
Jeff. Every night you go to sleep with a Scotch or a glass of Cabernet in your hand? Like, you actually into bed? Let me make sure I understand that correctly.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I like to watch TV before I go to bed. I mean, it helps me sleep. It's a nighttime ritual. And, I mean, I've never thought it was such a big deal to, I mean, you know, who doesn't, like, lay in bed and have a drink? I mean, I just think that it's weird that it's been made out to be a big deal. I don't know. It's so weird.
I don't think I ever have. Actually, in bed, had a cocktail? I don't think so.
What about your years? Come on. You were in a sorority.
Why would I be in my bed?
Come on.
I would be down in the common area. Raven, that is definitely 100% not true.
Yeah, no, I'm not really a drinker in the bedroom either. It doesn't make much sense to me. At that point, it's the end of the night for me. Unless it was a night that I went out and maybe I had brought one up and I was definitely beyond the legal limit and rowdy at that point. On the other hand, I don't think it's the end of the world. I mean, if that's his nighttime ritual, listen, there's plenty of people that take a sleep aid or a melatonin or a St. John's wort or anything like that. And while somebody might regard one of those as better because it's a vitamin or something, I mean, it's the same thing. Right?
No, the difference is that the spillage, like, you could spill it. I'm not saying, like, this helps him sleep. Like, sure, if that's what helps you sleep, great, but finish it downstairs. What if he spills it? What if it leaves the ring on his nightstand? What if it's sticky? What if it goes on their sheets? A Cabernet on his sheets?
It's called a coaster and steady hands.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
It doesn't seem like that big of a deal, actually.
Yeah, that's my point. I mean, it isn't that big of a deal. And I mean, you know, I am a professional here. I'm not, like, you know.
Well, now you're making it sound like a problem.
Right.
Yeah, when you say you're a professional in regards to drinking in bed, now that sounds a little bit more like a problem. But, you know, if the smell is the only thing, then that doesn't seem to me like the end of the world. But, hey, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm crazy.
Yeah, I mean, if it was just like melatonin, it'd be no big deal because I wouldn't smell it. But this is different.
I see both sides, but Dina, I don't know.
It's melatonin by Cutty Sark.
Yeah. All right, let's see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Jeff. What's the big deal? It's your bedroom. You're clearly not spilling over and over. Otherwise, you know, she would have pointed that out. So what's the big deal? You bring it up to bed. You leave it on your nightstand. But they may see Dina's side, too. Alcohol in the bedroom, especially on the nightstand, in bed, no thank you.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Looking at our text line. Interesting how people are so divided. So Dina and Jeff are married, been married a long time. And Jeff has this thing where every night he brings up either like a glass of Cabernet or like a neat Scotch up to bed. And he drinks it in bed.
It's his nightcap.
TV. Yeah, but in bed. And then he leaves it on the nightstand. And Dina says it's gross. Like, it smells. Like, what if he spills? Like, it just bothers her.
Well, you know, I don't like food in the bedroom. All right? And I don't like the smell of it in the bedroom. It's primarily the smell. It's not even just the fact that it'll get in the bed, which is disgusting on its own right. But I understand the smell of alcohol is strong, especially if you're not drinking. Right?
Especially the next morning when you wake up.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, I get that. On the other hand, I mean, these are the habits of a couple, right? And we all have things that we don't love about the other person.
Well, right. So I'm looking at the text line. I have enjoyed the glass of Cabernet before bedtime and leave it on the nightstand. The smell of it is so strong that it actually wakes me up sometimes. My vote is for her. You should take it out of the bedroom before he goes to sleep. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Jeff has a habit. Every night before bed, he brings a glass of Cabernet or a Scotch to bed, drinks it actually physically in the bed, and then leaves it in the nightstand. Dina, she can't stand that her husband does this.
She can't stand the smell, really. She just thinks it's odd. Why doesn't he finish his drink downstairs before coming up? But I kind of get it. If you're watching TV in bed and you're hanging out there and you're relaxing, this is your nightcap. This is the thing that actually puts you to sleep. Technically, Anna, if the drink is doing its job well enough, I might not have the energy to go downstairs.
I mean, come on. It's not a glass of water. It's like the smell. It flies. All right, checking our text line at 1-800-330-9999. Don't give me that look. The Cabernet brings the fruit flies. Everyone knows that.
You got flies in your bedroom.
Well, I mean, if you bring the Cabernet there. All right, on the text line, give the guy a break. Maybe she should go the extra mile and get it for him and be thankful.
Well, that sounds like the 50s or the 60s right there, right. Huh?
Yeah, hard pass on that. Does he drink it throughout the night? I'm on her side. Sounds unnecessary to me. Drink it downstairs. It's not that big a deal. Another text. Her side. Who wants to sleep with someone who has booze breath like he came in from a bar? Good point. And on Raven, whose side are you on?
Hi, I'm on the wife's side. I feel like sleeping with the smell, the breath, and you'll probably snore, right? Usually when you have a drink before bed, especially an alcoholic drink, you end up snoring, and then it gets on the nightstand. I'm with her. I just think it's gross.
And is he not brushing his teeth? Is he going to bed with Cabernet teeth?
We're worried about whiskey cavities. That's what we're worried about.
Well, okay. I just think it's yucky.
You know, I'm sorry, both of you. You know, I'm sorry. I'd like to respond, but all I heard was nag, 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 nag.
And if he
nag, nag.
If he does get up to go brush his teeth,
yeah.
Why can't he walk the glass to the sink while he's up? It doesn't make sense to me.
I'll just leave my booze in the bathroom.
Exactly.
It seems like a rational place for it.
Yeah,
thank you for the call.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Dean, our audience agreed with you. It's nasty, Jeff. You can't bring it upstairs in your room. And if you are, you definitely have to bring it down when you're done.
Oh, well, it's nice to see that the audience agreed with me because I agree.
You know, I mean, listen, I'm willing to compromise. I mean, I still don't understand what the big deal is, but, you know, the old adage, happy wife, happy life. I will at least make an effort to bring the glass back down. How about that?
I mean, I'd take it to the bathroom, throw a little water in it, then you're good, right? Come on.
It's done, right?
Let's make this easy on ourselves. If the drink's doing its job, then it's time for bed right after it. So
exactly.
If you have a problem, too, send an email, couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
All right, Dana, you are up. We have $400 on the line today. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Dana.
Okay.
Thank you.
So he's walking out of here. When that door closes, he can't hear us because we're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring him back in and ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. You ready to play?
Yeah.
Number one, Will Smith said in a recent interview that Men in Black was one of his favorite films. What letter of the alphabet was Smith's character referred to in the Men in Black franchise?
W.
Number two, Billie Eilish will headline the 2022 Glastonbury Festival. In what country does Glastonbury take place?
Canada.
Number three, this month marks the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World opening. Julie Andrews opened up Magic Kingdom 50 years ago. What is Mary Poppins considered according to the measuring tape?
Oh, my God. I'm doing so bad.
That's all right, Dana. Don't worry about it. As long as you have fun, who cares, right? All right, I'm going to guess we're going to skip that one. Yeah. Number four, 1,400 Kellogg cereal employees went on strike yesterday to protest working conditions. Which one of these cereal brands does Kellogg's not make? Frosted Flakes, Fruit Loops, or Lucky Charms?
Lucky Charms.
At number five, Kate Moss's supermodel daughter, Lila Moss, made news for wearing what medical device while she was on the catwalk closing Milan's Fashion Week? Time's up, Dana. That's okay. That's all right. I'm going to bring Raven back in.
Thank you.
No worries.
Yo.
So Dana only got one right today.
Not too good, Dana. Let's
but
see how
she tried.
Great. It's great. You get several points for effort, I guess, in some other game.
Okay. Here number one, Will Smith said in a recent interview that Men in Black was one of his favorite films.
Okay.
What letter of the alphabet was Smith's character referred to in the Men in Black franchise?
He's J.
Yes, Agent J. Number two, Billie Eilish will headline the 2022 Glastonbury Festival. In what country does Glastonbury take place?
It's England.
Yes. Number three, this month marks the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World opening. Julie Andrews opened up Magic Kingdom 50 years ago. What is Mary Poppins considered according to the measuring tape?
The measuring tape. I don't know what that means, but she's a nanny. I don't know it.
The answer is practically perfect in every way.
Oh, okay. I
mean, number
what
four.
Measuring tape?
Number four, 1,400 Kellogg cereal employees went on strike yesterday to protest working conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Which one of these cereal brands does Kellogg's not make?
Okay.
Frosted Flakes, Fruit Loops, Lucky Charms.
Lucky Charms.
Lucky Charms is correct. It's made by General Mills.
Mm-hmm.
And number five, Kate Moss's supermodel daughter, Lila Moss, made news for wearing what medical device while she was on the catwalk closing Milan's Fashion Week?
Medical device? Mm-hmm. Who? Kate Moss?
Her daughter.
I'm going to say a face mask.
No, she was wearing her insulin pump.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Dana. He beat you 3-1 this morning. We will get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. It's Dana and I can't beat Raven.
Well, better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $500 tomorrow, Anna. That's a nice round number.
Yeah, and thank you to Lauren. She submitted that Mary Poppins question at annaandraven.com. If you think you have an idea for a question, too, that could stump Raven just like that one did, hey, help me out. Send it to annaandraven.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12-powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.